you know the relationship isn't healthy. Your friends see it. You can feel it somewhere. So why can't you let go? Maybe you've said something like, well, they're not perfect, but we have a deep connection. Or, oh, when it's good, it's really good. Or maybe, I know I should leave, but I just can't. Today, we're diving into the neuroscience of trauma bonding, why your brain gets hooked on the highs and the lows, what it's trying to protect you from, and how to break free from cycles that feel like love, but really aren't. So stay tuned. Welcome to the Relationships Made Easy podcast, where I give you the exact steps to create connection, joy, and ease in all your relationships, whether it's with your partner, your family, your friends, or most importantly, yourself. I'm Dr. Abby Metcalf, psychologist, best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and the bossy Jewish mom you didn't know you needed. Each week, you'll get no-nonsense, research-backed strategies served with humor and love, so you can stop second-guessing yourself and start having the relationships you deserve. You'll always leave knowing exactly what to say and do to shift your relationships for the better. So let's get to it. Welcome back to the podcast. Wow, we've got a good one today. Before we begin, I want to mention that I did an episode way back in season 5 on trauma bonding that's very different from this one. In that one, I taught the 7 stages of trauma bonding, and I gave other tips for healing. So if this topic resonates with you, definitely go back and check that one out. As always, any of the research that I quote, any of the previous episodes I talk about, any of the downloads, and I have a great download for today, all of that you can find below the video if you're watching me on YouTube. Like and subscribe, please, if you are. That helps, and maybe leave a comment. Otherwise, you can go to the website, go to the page for this. You'll see it pretty easily, this topic. You could always search by keyword, and you can find all of the things there. The website's really abbymedcalf.com is really the best place to find everything. It's a great resource. There's tons of stuff on there. And I love when I get your emails. You know, keep emailing me, abby@abbymedcalf.com, with topics you'd like to see on a future broadcast. And I'm just going to remind you, I do not give advice. It's highly unethical to give advice to people in that format. So do not ask me for advice in that format. And also, you know, I love you, but I don't have time. You realize that hundreds of thousands of people listen to the podcast. I get a lot of emails. I would not have time to give everyone free advice around the world. It's just, and again, highly unethical. Nobody should be doing that with you. So let's talk about what trauma bonding really is. Let's start there. That seems like the most obvious place to start. And the term, so I am going to repeat a few things I said in the last episode, of course, but again, overall, it's a very different episode than the one I'm mentioning from previous. So the term trauma bonding was first coined by Dr. Patrick Carnes in 1997, and it was to describe the unhealthy attachment survivors often feel toward their abusers. Okay, so that's, I know. So I want you to think about that. And I want to be clear, though, this isn't about a shared trauma. I think a lot of people will say to me, oh, we were trauma bonding because we've both lost a mother, or because we both whatever. And that's bonding over a shared trauma, but that's not when we talk about the term trauma bonding, you know, where two people are bonding over a similar painful experiences. That's not what we're talking about. This is about being bonded to the person who is somehow causing you harm and not being able to walk away, okay? But here's the twist. This kind of bond doesn't just happen in relationships with kind of overt abuse. When I use that word abuse, I know people get very jumpy. So I'm not just talking about that. It also happens in relationships, and I think it mostly happens in relationships that are subtly, consistently unhealthy. Okay. So like that hot and cold dynamic, that emotional whiplash you feel, that feeling of addiction to the connection, even when it hurts, all of that trauma bonding too. Okay. So want to be clear. And I, that'll bring me, I have a great giveaway for today's episode. You know, I've been trying, especially here in season 8, to create things that are really going to help you deepen your understanding of the episode. And this is, I created a self-assessment quiz. Is it love or trauma bonding? Okay. So you can assess where your relationship stands if you're not sure. Or you can assess a previous one you've been in if you're not in one now and you're not sure if you've been in one before. And I'm also going to give you a couple of examples of trauma bonding I've run into in my private practice. Obviously, as always, names have been changed to protect privacy, of course. So you can, again, help identify where you might be in certain relationships. You know, is this trauma bonding or is this love? So I'm going to give you this example of, we're going to call her Sarah. So, and this is regarding a romantic relationship. Okay. So again, that's not my client's real name. And I always change a few things, but keep it pretty similar. So Sarah is like a high achieving executive, and she's in a relationship with, let's call him James, who alternates between affection and withdrawal. So there's no, you know, over abuse or anything. He's not hitting her or anything. There's nothing like that. But he alternates between a lot of affection and then withdrawing and withholding his love. So one day he's loving, he's planning trips, and he's complimenting her. And the next, he will ignore her for hours. She'll text him nothing for hours. Or he'll criticize her for being too sensitive. When she tries to set boundaries, he apologizes, and often in like dramatic fashion, and he showers her with attention. And she knows it goes back and forth, right? So she knows the relationship isn't healthy. Like, that's why she came to therapy. But she is constantly hoping that the good version of James will return. Like, her brain is hooked on that, this good guy. Like, if I just act this way, or these excuses, or it's good a lot of the time. Her brain, of course, is chasing this kind of intermittent reward. And the chaos feels familiar for her from her childhood. She had one of her parents was very unpredictable. It was the exact same thing with her mom, actually, not her dad, who would just be like loving and amazing and wonderful one minute. And then her mother had some mental illness issues, and then would be withholding, even kind of nasty sometimes, others. A lot of the time her mother was loving. I've always asked her, like, was that the majority of the time? She goes, I don't know. You know, I don't know what was most the time or not. But the problem is, you know, of course, she learned that that's what love is, you know, this sort of bit of chaos, this back and forth. Okay. So here she is doing it in her adult relationships in different ways. The other example I wanted to share with you is more of a family one. And we will call this client Mark. And Mark has a complicated relationship with his mom, right? She frequently like belittles his choices. She uses a lot of guilt to try to control him. She compares him to more successful family members. He gets compared a lot to his sister and to her brother all the time. But in between, she like sends him loving texts. She says how proud she is of him. And he feels obligated to take her calls, even when they leave him drained. He's so drained after speaking to her. He worries that when we've tried to work on this, he really worries that setting boundaries will make him a bad son, like an ungrateful son. And this kind of push-pull dynamic mirrors the way she parented him growing up, and now his nervous system interprets the anxiety as connection. I want to say that again. Your nervous system will interpret that anxiety, that kind of butterfly feeling even, as connection. I know. So if any of these rings true or anything I'm saying, you're in the right place. So let's talk about kind of the brain chemistry. You know, I like to do that. So if you've ever felt like you were addicted to a person, I would say you're not far off. Trauma bonding involves brain chemicals that are also involved in actual addiction to a substance. So dopamine, which I've talked about before, which is that feel, you know, one of the really feel good neurotransmitters, it will spike during moments of pleasure and reward. But when rewards are inconsistent, right? You know, a compliment here, affection there, you know, wherever it might be, it creates what researchers call a reward prediction error. And this is a key part of addiction. Okay. Your brain gets hooked, not on the reward itself, but on the possibility of a reward. That intermittent reinforcement, which I'm sure you've heard about before, makes you try harder instead of walking away. And I think that's why I've often said that a sign of childhood trauma of some kind, or an adverse childhood experiences, as we also like to call them, is often a sign of when people, adults, are trying to get other people to like them, or are trying to get someone else who's maybe mad at them, or to like them and to come around. I see that a lot. Oxytocin is something else that's involved in this brain chemistry, and that is a bonding hormone. It's released during physical touch. It's released during emotional intimacy. Usually people think of oxytocin a lot with motherhood and making babies, making babies too, but also having childbirth itself, especially when there's infants. There's a lot. We get oxytocin really every time we touch someone. The more touching, the more oxytocin. So even in toxic relationships, it cements connection, which is why leaving someone who harms you can feel like withdrawal. I know. And you're just so focused on them, right? And I can tell you from stopping heroin many years ago, boy, you're really focused on that drug. Now, other hormones and neurotransmitters, cortisol and adrenaline, by the way, something can be both a neurotransmitter and a hormone. I've talked about this before. Neurotransmitters are chemical messengers in the brain. Hormones are chemical messengers in the body. So dopamine, for example, when it's acting in the brain, is a neurotransmitter. When it's acting in the body, it's a hormone. So when I use those words interchangeably, sometimes it's because of where something is acting, okay? It's not because I don't know. So cortisol and adrenaline are released. You've probably heard of adrenaline, of course, and cortisol, a lot of people have heard about that stress hormone. These are released in stressful moments, okay? So over time, your nervous system becomes dysregulated. You're in a chronic state of fight, flight, or freeze. And ironically, your body starts to mistake that chaos again for connection. So look at how much your anxiety is connection, chaos is connection. These things make you, they've created a neural connection that is very hard to overcome. It feels quote unquote right, even as much as it's making you sad or making you uncomfortable or angry or resentful or whatever. Your brain doesn't bond to what's healthy, it bonds to what's familiar. I'm going to say that again. Your brain doesn't bond to what's healthy. It bonds to what's familiar. I know. You're sitting with it right now. I love you. I'm sorry. This stuff's hard. So if chaos, neglect, criticism were part of your early environment, you might or are likely unconsciously equate those things with love, equating anxiety, chaos, et cetera, with love. Okay. I know. All right. Let's talk about attachment, attachment meeting addiction, so to speak, right? Because we're really talking about a kind of addiction here. So when insecure attachment patterns, so remember, I've done multiple episodes on attachment. We talk about secure attachment, insecure attachment. With insecure attachment, we talk about avoidant attachment and anxious styles. And there's anxiously avoidant and dismissive avoidant. There's all these others, but let's keep it simple today. So if you have an insecure attachment style pattern, like anxious or avoidant, when they meet, when that pattern, when that style meets the neurochemistry of addiction, all this neurochemistry I just gave you, you get trauma bonding. That's what you get. So let's say your childhood relationships were marked by unpredictability, withdrawal of love, or any kind of inconsistent caregiving, okay? As a kid, your brain made neural associations between love and emotional pain. And these pathways don't disappear just because you get older. As a matter of fact, a lot of times they get even more entrenched. They get reactivated in adult relationships, especially ones that, again, mimic that earlier dynamic like I was describing earlier, okay? So this is why we often, you know, you might be repeating patterns even when you know better. I say a lot, you might know what to do and not do what you know, right? That's why. You're not broken. I hate when people describe themselves as broken. You're not broken, baby. I love you. You're not broken, okay? You're not neurologically looping through old survival strategies, okay? That's what's happening. All right. Do I want to say more on that? Does Abby want to say more on that? I'm trying to be season eight. Trying to be a little more succinct. Trying to be a little more like, am I really saying everything I want to say? I don't have to keep repeating it. I have said it. Okay, let's talk about, I think what's natural here, really where I want to go, is signs you're trauma bonded. Let's go there. And there's many signs of this. So one is that you feel euphoric when they finally give you affection or attention. Okay. Like, again, we all get happy when we get attention, but this is a whole other level. You minimize or justify their bad behavior, a lot of excuses, a lot of justifications. You feel, if you were to step back, you would admit that you feel addicted to the relationship, even if it's mostly painful. You feel like you just can't let it go. I would say for sure that you notice that your logic does not win the day. That's one of the ways you always know something is a trauma trigger or an old wound is because it's not logical. You could do a pros and cons list. You can list everything out. It does not make sense on paper. It's also true if you question if you're the problem a lot, that happens with gaslighting, of course, but if you're questioning if you're the problem, if you experience, you know, highs and lows that, again, cyclically, you know, you just keep high. We all have certain highs and lows over the course of a relationship, but they shouldn't be like day to day or week to week. You feel unsafe, but you're unable to leave, right? If you're anything like me, you're bad at asking for help, like weirdly bad at it. I've been a busy gal for a long time now. Kids, partner, my own business, all the things that make for a full life these days. And my instinct always was to just white knuckle it and do it all myself. But I say it on this show all the time. Ask for help. You don't have to do it all. And meanwhile, there I was doing it all. And I finally changed all that from my podcast editor to the person who got 10 years of photos off my phone and into albums I actually look at. I found amazing people to help me on Upwork, and I've been using them for the last 8 years. And you don't need a business for any of this, any project, any size, planning an event, sorting out something at home, finally handling the thing on your list you keep avoiding. Upwork lets you find, hire, and pay expert freelancers all in one place. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help you and your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. I would say a really huge red flag is if you've been like Googling, is my relationship toxic? You know, if you found me because you were looking up trauma bonding, I would say you already know the answer. Like if you're listening to this episode because you were on, you know, Spotify putting in, you know, trauma bonding or trauma or whatever, you know, hey, you might be here. And what I've talked about before, I often can tell because I'll ask someone, oh, well, what do you love about this person? What's so great about them? And they cannot give me a clear answer. They say things like, it's just something about them. They're so charismatic. Oh, it's just so special. There's just a thing. I can't describe it. When you say stuff like that to me, I am terrified because I know that that's trauma bonding. It is, you should, if someone, I've shared this before, if you ask me why I love Gary right away, right? What's so special about Gary? Why have you been with Gary for so long? I'd be like, oh my God, he's so kind. He always has my back. He thinks of me all the time. He protects my name when I'm not in the room. I could go on. He's smart. I could go on and on. Okay. On and on. Those are the answers you should have at the ready if someone were to ask you why you were loving, I would think something like that. Okay. So I would say that if you're still not sure, ask yourself, why am I attracted to this person or this relationship? And without thinking too hard, I would want you to sit and write down those answers, right? Again, when someone's trauma bonding in a trauma bonding kind of situation, they're using that language. There's something about them. We've always had this strong connection, or right from the start, we had this amazing connection. I just feel good around them. Or when it's good, we could talk about anything for hours. It's just special. One of the ones that scares me, of course, is I just know I'll never find someone like this again, or I've never felt this way around anyone else. Those kind of scarcity statements. Again, these answers are always scary. None of them are examples of what it takes to make a healthy relationship, of what it takes to get through hard times. Is that how you get through hard times, when the rubber hits the road? Oh, we got through it because there was just something special? No, that's not when you're going to get through it. You get through it because, oh my gosh, they're the most empathetic person I know. They always have my back in every situation. When we argue, they always fight fair. They're always still loving me. Our communication is always strong, even when we disagree. They're kind. They're thoughtful. They're compassionate. They're honest. They're consistent. They're trustworthy. They're reliable. Right? I'm trying to think of other things I hear. I always know they're thinking of what I need as they're managing their own needs and wants, that kind of something like that. We always work as a team. They ask me about my life and they listen to the answers. They care about the answers. They ask me great questions about my life to help me think through things. They're always trying to make my life better. They prioritize me in our relationship. I look how these things are rolling off my tongue. You should be able to do all that. Okay. So let's talk about healing. And the healing starts with the brain. Okay. The healing starts with the brain. So step one would be to name what's happening. And this isn't weakness. It's trauma chemistry. Naming it gives you power. This is not just an unhealthy relationship. It's a survival response baked into your nervous system. So you've got to get clear on that. Okay. Again, start with the biology and then move through, because again, we're thinking of this addiction. And when I did the trauma bonding episode, the previous one, I didn't do all this. So that's why it's good to listen to both. Okay. Whenever I redo an episode or give an update of an episode, I always want to do it a little differently. So, because otherwise I'll just be like, go back and listen to that one. Right. So, and there's always more on the subject. There's always newer research, especially I've been doing this in my eighth year. I'm always looking up newer research and seeing what's getting talked about. So anyway, so there's step one. Step two, I would tell you, you got to focus on regulating your nervous system. You can't think your way out of trauma bonding. You have to feel your way through it and calm your body first. Okay. So I know. And there's a lot of resources I have on this. I did a two-part episode on self-regulation, which is different than managing your emotions. I did another episode on that, a step-by-step guide to managing your emotions. I'll link again to all of these, or you can search the keywords on my website. It'll all come up. But self-regulation is really about that physical regulation also, okay? A lot of that. So I would say to definitely try breath work, especially box breathing. I'm a big fan of sky breathing, SKY. I will link to that. I did a I did another episode on like 7 types of breathing. Listen to that episode. There's breath work is so good. There's so much research on it. There's so much support. How just focus it. When I say breath work, focus on your breath. Taking one deep breath in, long, slow exhale turns on your vagus nerve, starts to calm your system. I mean, you've got to regulate your nervous system first. You got to do it. Got to do it. Cold exposure is another really good one. So splashing cold water on your face, believe it or not, taking cold showers, going washing your hands in cold water. My other favorite is putting a cold compress, like an ice pack, on the back of your neck. Very, very effective. Bilateral movement, you know, so like walking, tapping at the same time, that kind of thing. And definitely journaling, like journaling what you're feeling before you reach out to them, you know, before you do something, maybe do a little journaling to get your nervous system in place, to get yourself settled, right? All of these are great. Again, so you're thinking in your head, I shouldn't be with this person anymore. What am I going to do? But then they reach out or you get an impulse to go stalk them on social media or something. Do one of these things. Get your, instead of trying to think yourself out of it so quickly, first try to physically shift your nervous system first. Take the breaths, do something cold, right? That's what I want you doing first. Go for a run if that's your thing. We all know I don't run. But if you run, you know, some sort of a huge physical exertion will really, really help. All right? Okay, so that's a mistake a lot of people make, is they go right to trying to think something different, but because their brain is hijacked, they can't. I talk about this all the time. Doing something physical first to help your nervous system is going to make a big difference here. All right. Step 3 is to replace the pattern, not just the person. So if you, right, replace the pattern, not just the person. If you jump from one toxic relationship to the next, I remember I would go from one to the other, right? When you do that, nothing changes. I know they, and I, every person would seem so different to me. And I was with men, women, I was trying all kinds of relationships and it did not matter. I was choosing the same person really over and over, even though they were different race, genders, you know, backgrounds, things were very different with a lot of them, the kind of jobs they had. And yet there were threads through. Okay. And that's when you do that though, because nothing changes. So I say a lot, wherever you end this relationship, you're going to begin your next, which is why it's so important to end relationships well. And that would show up over and over because I wasn't ending the relationship well. I was ending them, but I wasn't ending them in a healthy way where I was doing the work. So I would end up with the same kind of person again. You have to create a new emotional baseline. You have to create a new emotional baseline. It's got to be one that values peace over intensity. Okay. That's what I remember. I made a much healthier choice with my kid's dad, my first marriage. And yes, that marriage ended after many years, but not badly. We still get along really well and our partners all get along well and our new relationships and all that. And he's a great man. We just weren't a good fit for a lot of other reasons. But I remember when we were dating at one point, we broke up because things were so calm. Both of us were used to much more sort of, you know, all the butterflies, all the craziness, all the, and I'm not saying I didn't ever get butterflies or ever get those feelings, but it just, there wasn't any chaos. I got along great with his family. I loved his parents and his sister and her partner. And it was all like really nice. And we got along really well most of the time and we worked through things well, blah, blah, blah. And so both of us thought that was a problem. And I remember we just missed each other so much. We ended up getting back together and then eventually married and everything. But can you imagine breaking up with someone because it's so good? You probably can. You're probably laughing right now because I'm not alone in this. That's what we do. Oh, there's just not a thing. There's supposed to be a thing. No, there's not. No, there's not. Like, yeah, I mean, there needs to be obviously something different about this person that you want to marry them or stay in a long-term relationship or decide that, you know, you're going to have children with them. Like, obviously, this is someone different. But This idea of that trauma bonding, that butterflies, that excited feeling, the chaos, the nuttiness, the wildness, the, you know, the feeling like you have like birds flying around your head, you know, AKA a Disney movie. It just, there's something really crazy. But when you come from crazy, that's what you think. It's what happens. So you really want to start cultivating calm, secure relationships, right? Let healthy feel boring at first. Let it feel boring at first. And I don't know that I felt bored in my relationship with my kid's dad. I wasn't like bored, but it just was so much. I was like, both of us felt it, by the way, because we both had these histories. It's like, is there something missing? Like, you know, it seems like there should be. It's like, there wasn't. There wasn't. And you, and some of you are listening going, well, you got divorced. It couldn't have been perfect. It's true. It wasn't. And it, but it wasn't not right for that reason. Okay. That wasn't the reason. And again, I see that as a very successful relationship I had. We were together for almost 2 decades and I had my beautiful children. He's a great dad and a great, ex-partner. We co-parent really well together. I think I chose really well. So it's just your, you know, your viewpoint on what that means to be in a successful relationship, I think. So, but that let it feel boring at first. That's your nervous system detoxing. That's that bored feeling. Try this. Here's another one. This is just an easy one. Go when you next time you're in a line somewhere, you're at the grocery store, you're alone. You're at DMV, you're at, I don't know where you are, but you're standing in a line. Don't pick up your phone. Don't do it. Don't scroll through email. Don't catch up on anything. Try to even not read. If you have a real book, maybe, but I would say just stand there. Just allow some space. Just stand. Just allow your nervous system to be a little bored. Allow it to relax. And see what starts to happen in your life. I'm telling you, you don't realize how much you fill the space. You keep your nervous system kind of in a very mild, persistent state of fight or flight. My love letter this last week, I talked about, if you don't get the love letter, I don't know why, sign up. If you download anything from me, by the way, you get put on the love letter list, which is, it's just twice a month. You're going to get an inspiring letter from me. Hopefully it's inspiring to you. That's all it's meant to do. I don't sell anything. I don't tell you where I'm speaking or something. It's nothing like that. It's not a newsletter. It's a love letter. And I write a little story or I share something. And this last one, I just shared about what real self-care is. And it's not, you know, a massage and getting your nails done and whatever. That's like another thing to put on your friggin' to-do list, which is the whole reason you think you need more self-care because your to-do list is so long. The best ways to get self-care, to do things like I just said, to give yourself an extra 5 minutes to get everywhere so you're not rushing, to take some things off your schedule, to do this, to stand in a line and not busy yourself, that is self-care. That is calming your nervous system. That's giving yourself a moment. That's getting your brain more familiar, quote unquote, with being a little more bored. And that, I got to tell you, that's the key. All right. Hopefully that makes sense. Step 4 is get some help. Freaking get help, people. Trauma bonding, I will tell you, can't usually be healed in isolation. And I would say consider working with some sort of trauma-informed therapist, okay? There's all kinds of things. We have somatic approaches. We have EMDR. We have biofeedback as a somatic approach. Internal family systems. There's so many things we use these days. I am not a trauma therapist. I don't consider myself such. But as you might imagine, most of my clients have some sort of childhood trauma. You know, again, adverse childhood experience of some kind, something they're working through that relates to their current situation. So I feel I'm very, you know, I stay very informed, I stay educated and all that. But when I have someone who's had very serious, you know, do you know that there, by the way, so there's a test for adverse childhood experiences. There's like a little quiz you can take. I'll link to that. I'm writing that down because I'll forget. Hold on. I'm writing it down. Give me a minute. And it'll be in the notes, you know, the blog post and on the podcast show notes page. I'll do the ACE test. There's a little quiz you take and it show, you know, it's like 1 to 10, you score it 1 to 10. And, 10 is like a lot. And there's things like, you know, you grew up in a household where you saw a parent get physically abused, maybe where there was somebody with a mental health problem, somebody with a drug or alcohol problem. You know, there's things like that. Someone, you know, you were criticized a lot, things like that. Anyway, you can take the little quiz if you want. And it doesn't, just because you score low on the quiz, maybe doesn't mean that you don't have childhood things you have to get through. Okay. So therapy, getting help for it is really, really important. Now, I started this podcast years ago because there's a lot of people who can't afford therapy, who don't have access to it. And so I've always hoped that this could be, for those people, a substitute of something, you know, research-based, lots of good tools and tips so you can change your life. And you guys write to me all the time and tell me it is. That makes it all worthwhile. And for those of you who are in therapy, this is a great adjunct to it. I will say, you know, if you really can't, it's one of the reasons I started my the One Love Collective, which is my online group. It's now, by the time you're listening to this, it'll be on Substack. And that, the One Love Collective is $8 a month. And every single episode, I have a lot of extras so you can go deeper. So there's some support, right? And the group itself is very supportive. People ask questions in there. They throw things around. I'm in there all the time. I love it. There's live Q&As with me. There's all kinds of extra stuff. And if you can't afford therapy or you don't have access, maybe you have $8 a month that you can put into this and get a lot of resources and things. If you don't want to, though, I'm calling them a therapy to go bundle, which is everything that my online community gets. You could buy, and those are $10. So they used to be a different price, but now they're always $10. So if you want to buy the bundle that they get in the membership for $8, by the way, you know, but that's ongoing. You pay that every month. This way you would only pay per bundle that was attractive to you. Okay. And I'll list everything that's in the bundle in the therapy to go bundle at the very end. So if you want to listen, if this is an area, if you're listening going, oh my God, this is me, you might want to get this bundle. Okay. So either join the group to get extra and ask for support and all that, or pay the $10. But you can also join other support groups. I've shared often that, I go to 12-step support groups. I have a, you know, consulting group. I have lots of places I get support in different fashions. Okay. Support groups, honest friendships, though, everything helps. Above all, you want to focus on yourself, not fixing the relationship. Okay. Whatever therapy you do, whatever stuff you're working on, focus on yourself, not fixing the other person or the relationship, and you will go far. Okay. So I'm going to wrap up by saying, you know, if any of this resonated, you're not crazy. You're not crazy. If any of this resonated, you're not weak. You're not broken. You are human. We're wired to bond. You are wired to bond. And with some awareness, with some support, with practice, you can rewire those bonds to serve you, not sabotage you, because that's really the goal. It's not about having no trauma. That's not going to happen. I heard, I think it was on Diary of a CEO. I was listening to something the other day, and there was a guy on there talking about trauma. It was so good. He said, if I had a glass of water and I pissed in that glass of water, and then I added some sugar to the glass of water, it wouldn't make the piss go away. It wouldn't neutralize it. It wouldn't anything. The piss is still in the water, right? That's the thing. Trauma is trauma. Like we have it. We can override a lot of this wiring. We can shift a lot of how you react with work and dedication. You can do that. So, but don't think it's about forgiving and forgetting or, you know, whatever. It's really about no longer letting that trauma choose your partners or choose your jobs or choose your life. That's what we're trying to do, is get the trauma out of the driver's seat and putting you in the driver's seat. Okay. That's really what it's all about. So for sure, I would say again, if this resonates, I would download the free. It's free. It's a self-assessment quiz. It's called, I call it, Is It Love or a Trauma Bond? It, again, a self-assessment quiz and like kind of a reflection guide. I tried to really make it, you know, very robust, you know, lots there for you to work with. And if that's enough, great. I'm always happy. You know, in my world here, in Abby world, there's you never have to spend a penny if you don't want to get really great information. So you can just do that and you're all set. If you are interested in the Therapy to Go bundle or joining my Substack, you can just go on Substack and you'll find me and join. That's pretty easy. Or you can do it through my website. But here's what's in that bundle. There's a I created 10 boundary scripts to keep you grounded. Okay. Cause you know, a lot of times a script is really helpful. Like, what do I say, Abby? What do I do? So I have that. I have another one, another handout called How to Talk to a Friend About Trauma Bonding. It's kind of a guide for helping someone maybe open up about trauma bonding. If you're seeing this in someone else, a friend of yours, someone you want to help. There's an exercise where you write a letter from the you who's already healed, okay, like a future self reflection. I have that in there. There's journaling prompts. I always have journaling prompts, and I really go to town on my journaling prompts. I spend time on those, and I usually put them into different categories on different things I want you to look at. So there's a nervous system reset, kind of an exercise, like a worksheet. There's also a checklist, like, is it love or a trauma bond, which is different than the free quiz. And it's like it's like a quick clarity checklist. You can think of it that way. It's a little different. I also have what to say to yourself when you want to go back. So again, different scripts, some kind of self-compassion scripts. And then lastly, I have something, it's about understanding the stages of trauma bonding, because I didn't talk about the stages a lot here, which is again in that older episode. So I know that's a lot, but it's really meant again to be kind of therapy. You know, it's meant to really help you do the work. But I would say with trauma bonding and anything when you're dealing with adverse childhood experiences or any kind of trauma, I really hope you also get some kind of professional help. I really do. I understand that that's not possible for everyone. So I'm trying to give you other things to help with that. Okay. And I think that's it for today. That's a lot of information. I know that's a lot I tried to pack in there. I feel like I spoke really quickly. Always give me feedback, you know, if you'd like me to speak slower, I guess fast. You can make it go faster. So, you know, by listening at 1.5 speed or something. So I'm not going to do that. But if you need me to go slower, if you'd like more details in the future about something, anything constructive, you know, I'm very open to hearing. I might not change things because not everybody necessarily like, I might have gotten one email from you saying, make it longer, and then 40 other emails saying, make it shorter. You know, I try to just not make it long or short. I try to say what I want to say, and it's however long it's going to be. I am starting the Workplace Therapy with Dr. Abby Metcalf podcast in probably October of 25, depending on when you're listening to this, which is just going to be about workplace issues and how to be at work. And, you know, and it's going to be a shorter podcast purposefully, no more than, you know, 20 minutes tops each episode. So that's really meant to be kind of a quick hit around something. All right. I think that's it. As always, thank you so much for spending time with me. It always means so much. I can't explain it. Every time I'm going to sit and do the podcast and sit here with you, I feel energized. I feel inspired. I feel motivated. And you know, that's the reason I've been doing this so long, every single week. Trust me, like, you can't do what I do if it sucks, you know, if you hate doing it. It's just not going to work, and you're not going to be as successful as this podcast has been, which thank you for being here with me. It's because I care and I love you, and I want your life better. Okay. All right. And you make my life better. So thank you. Mwah. Have an amazing week, and we'll talk real soon. Thank you for spending time with me today. If you're loving what you're learning here, come join my One Love Collective. It's my private community where we take these conversations even deeper. You'll get a ton of bonus content, live Q&As with me, guided visualizations, journaling prompts, scripts, and an incredible community of like-minded people ready to support you as you create more ease and joy in all your relationships. It's all waiting for you at abbymetcalf.com or right on Substack. I'll see you next week.